Thank you, Lord. Just bless your word for our hearts tonight. Thank you, you are the living God. Thank you for the glory of knowing you and walking with you. For the wonder of life in the Holy Ghost. We praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah, Son of Man. Praise your glorious name. Just open your word and yourself to us, dear Lord Jesus. I realize things you have for us. Kindness of your good heart towards us. Deliver us from the wicked one, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shall we turn to Revelation chapter 12? Starting to read at verse 7. And there was war in heaven, 12 verse 7. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. I prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. 12 verse 10 now of Revelation. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Where therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And we'll turn to Luke chapter 22. Starting to read at verse 31. Luke 22, starting to read at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32 now. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And then verse 54 of the same chapter. Verse 54. And they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when he had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, and was set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him, and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, commonly affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also is with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Wonderful scriptures, aren't they? Amen. I wanted to talk tonight about the difference, total difference, between our Lord's attitude to us and Satan's. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? The total difference in, as well, the difference between white and black. And so often as Christians, if we're not very careful, we can really feel that the Lord is looking on us like the devil is. We can get this idea that God is criticizing us all the time and picking faults with us and saying you're not holy, you're not pure and all that. And very often we tend to mistake the voice of Satan, which is accusing us, for the voice of God. Because the devil doesn't come in saying, I'm the devil. So often he comes in And he says, look, you're not as pure as you should be. You're not as holy as you should be. Same as one demon said to my wife one day. He said, haven't I a sweet voice? I'm the voice of God. She said, God wouldn't need to say that, you devil, off you go. See? So it's remarkable how they come along and pretend to be God's voice for you, when really the only motive is destruction of your peace and your joy and your character. And it's very important to get that into our minds. So I wanted to talk a bit tonight about the ancient cunning of Satan, you know, the names and the character of Satan. And then dwell on how the devil got at Peter, and how our Lord brought him out of it, to show the difference. Now, he said he's called that ancient serpent, that old serpent, referring to Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. And it said that he was going to put enmity between the serpent and mankind. And a lot of people don't realize that. Most people in the world think the devil's out to give them a good time, when really his name against mankind is Satan, adversary, and his aim is enmity. You know, his aim is enmity against mankind. He doesn't like mankind. He wants three things from mankind. Firstly, worship. Worldwide rule and corruption of mankind, and then his final aim is destruction of mankind, and all of them in that order. You know, see, worship, corruption, and destruction. And that's Satan's aim for mankind. And people in the world outside really feel, you know, the thing to do is to do what the devil is. Go and have a good time, live out the sins of the flesh, and live out every way you can. Following the devil's the way to be really happy. And it's the very reverse is the truth. And yet the whole world has gone into sin under the lies of Satan. And Satan was so cunning that he even corrupted angels in the presence of God. Here we read that his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now can you imagine that? How clever you've got to be. To corrupt angels in the presence of God. That's going to take a bit of doing, isn't it? And that was, I think, the first time there was no openness. You see, in Revelation 14, verse 1 to 5, it says, they are without fault before the throne of God. In their mouths was found no guile. Isn't it interesting? The striking thing is they're open. You say, well, why does God choose openness of personality as a thing which qualifies and exemplifies the rulers of heaven? And the answer is, because that's how the devil went wrong. Now, as you know, the Lord lets me hear what folks are thinking. I was picking up little sister coming back, and your thoughts too, you know, as I came down in the train, and your grumble about spending all that time up in the north and only a bit of a time with us. And then it was you, and when I got back to it, I was thinking that too, Bill, you see. But it was a nice, chirpy welcome, thank you, man. It was very good. The spirit was great. So you're in tune, fear not, you're in tune. And Helen's nice welcome too, amen, as we came down in the train. It's rather nice, isn't it? Three ladies welcome me in the thoughts. They knew the Lord was going to tell me. Isn't that good? I see. Well, you see, that's how it was in heaven all the time. He says, when we get to heaven, we shall know as we are known. We shall fully know, epigenosko, as we are fully known. All our thoughts will be transparent. And it's like that little lady was taken to heaven when she died. She was raised from the dead by Jesus. They'd taken off the support system and everything. Dead with cancer, with the gangrene of the bowels, and, you know, really everything gone wrong. Poison internally. So she died, so they took her off the life support system. A dead body. That was it. Put her in the room, covered up with a towel, with a sheet. And her dad came and saw him wheel into this room and went and prayed by the dead body. And she was in heaven at that time. And this angel was taken into heaven. She saw the foundations of the New Jerusalem. And having had dealing with precious stones, she never recognized them. So she saw all the foundation, the stuff they have for wings down here, they use for foundations for buildings up there. Amen. That's why you don't have any thieves in. You think we'll make a fortune out of this place. And they said that all the angel had got to do was to look at her and think, and she could hear him. And all she had to do was look at him and think, and he could hear her. In other words, communication was on the level of thought. Yet she also knew that if she wanted to be anywhere in God's kingdom, she'd only got to think of being there and she'd be there instantly. It's going to be nice when we get to heaven, isn't it? You're going to need buzzes, you see. When I nearly died a few weeks ago with this food poisoning, when I went down to the toilet, I felt dreadfully ill. Pauline said this demon came and stood at the bottom of the bed, and the next moment, it was instantly at the other side of her, so she saw it out of the room. I was such a long time downstairs that she went to sleep again. And when I came up, I felt so ill, and the Lord said to me, "Wake Pauline up." And I really felt as if I was dying. And she took one look at me and said, and I said, "I feel really ill." So tell her to call the doctor. So the only time she'd seen anybody look like that was a minute before they died. And I said, "I think it was partly a satanic attack. Fish, some very poisonous toxins in some of the fish, particularly soul fish. You know, and so anyway, I said even her lips were white and she couldn't even find a pulse on me. In the district nurse, she should be able to do that." But it's interesting, isn't it, how you can communicate like that. And it's good to know the devils actually talk to you sometimes like that and attack you, and other times they give these nasty little whispers into your mind. You see, and in heaven, when Satan corrupted the third part of the stars of heaven, the first thing to go was the openness of mind. See, one of the joys of the happiness of heaven is going to be the fact that we know one another at that depth of personality all the time. You see, it's going to be closer than the relationship between a man and his wife. Is going to be the flowing of love and affection at a companionship level of the deepest kind. Isn't that wonderful? You see, and when Satan went bad, he started to corrupt. And there was the Lord in all his beauty and glory and gentleness and love. And he said, "You know, there's something wrong with him. I've got a better way." And the doubt started to come in. Till in the end, even in the presence of perfect love, Satan had corrupted a third of the angels of heaven into evil. You wouldn't have thought that was the body possible, would you? They got bodies which wanted to take them to the prayer meeting. Bodies that were spiritual, that lived on praise. And you see, he didn't want that. He wanted to be the object of praise instead of God. So being the anointed cherub that covereth, one of the top angels of heaven, Lucifer the light bringer. If you wanted light, you sent him. If you wanted people to see truth and beauty and light, you sent perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. He brought them truths after one after the other. And then he got corrupted. And his beauty was corrupted. Till in the presence of God, he turned into that total evil. And that wonderful experience of Job 38 verses 4 to 7, where it says, "When the foundation of the earth were laid, all the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Satan was among them, shouting them as loud as any other. And the word means they made such a noise as they wrecked the ears. They said, "Isn't it wonderful? Isn't God wonderful?" And Satan's praises to God were as real as anything. Until he said, "I am the one who wants to be praised. I want to be like the Most High. I want to be worshipped." And instead of being thankful that he had a being and owed all that he had to God, he wanted to be like God, the love of power and position. You see, and as he looked at God, and you see, we'll get a shock when we see God on the throne. Because the humility of God is unbelievable. I'll just say that again. The humility of God is unbelievable.
Amen.
The gentleness of God, as we see Jesus, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And that they thought he could get away with it because of his kindness. You see, and when God didn't slap down on him on his first wrong thought he could carry on. As the scripture said, because sentence upon an evil work was not executed speedily, he thought he could carry on. And so he did. And God, in his infinite wisdom, said, if I slap Satan down now, it's no good. The future of the ages of ages of that kingdom, when all people will live together in love there, will depend upon the manifestation of the fact that righteousness is the only way to produce happiness. That is the only way. You see, God could have smashed the devil down at his first evil thought and said to the folks, I can tell you what that was going to lead to. But it's no good saying even to angels, I'll tell you what that's going to lead to. People have to prove by experience what that thing is going to lead to. And so God allowed Satan to do it until, as it says in the scriptures, it says it filled heaven with backbiting and unhappiness and misery. You see, so often we think if we get transported to heaven, we'll be okay. The moment we get up there, everything will be hunky-dory. When really that's where all the trouble started. Evil began in heaven in the presence of God. When Satan decided he wanted worship. And you want to read Ezekiel 28 verses 12 to 20. And Isaiah 14 verse 12 to 20. Starts talking about the king of Tyrus in Ezekiel 28. And then carries on to talk about the anointed cherub that covereth. He says, thou wast full of perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, thou sealest up the sun. He says, when you walked along, he said, all this beautiful music went with you. How art thou fallen, thou anointed cherub? And you see, when you can't get satisfaction in love, you get satisfaction in selfishness. And as you go on, you find out selfishness isn't satisfying enough. So in the end, the only happiness you can have is the happiness of total sadism. When the only pleasure you find is the pleasure of causing pain and total pain. That is the end of evil. And God knew it. And he got to demonstrate it. Is this interesting, folks?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that, God said, right, Satan, I'm not going to smash you into the ground now. I'm going to prove who's right. Not to myself only, but to the whole of creation. You see, so the whole business now of creation is proving who's right. You see, and the happiness of those ages of ages is going to depend on the fact that we not only see God's ways right intellectually, but we see that it is right practically. And that is why the great tribulation is coming along. And that is what the scripture in Revelation 12 is talking about. When Satan and his might and his archangels fought, it says the devil and his angels were cast out into the world. That happens just before the great tribulation. And the angels say, oh, thank God he's gone. What a time we've had. Though Satan was cast out of the first heaven to live there, he daily walked into the presence of God to accuse them. Day and night, Satan marches into before the throne and accuses God's children. Goes through the sin. There you see. Have you considered my servant? Where have you been, Satan? Up and down in the earth? Where have you been, adversary? Hater of mankind and of the kingdom of God? Where have you been? Up and down in the earth? Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him that loves righteousness and hates evil. He does it because he's so well protected. If he didn't protect him, he wouldn't love you and serve you. You say, well, I says, you can I'll take away, you can have, take away the protection. Home gone. A whole row of coffins as all the family is buried. That must have been a terrible thing. And they said, that's bad enough to use one kitty. But when all your children go, a funeral service, every child you have is being buried. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Then the next thing, the Chaldeans and the Sabians in, and going from absolute affluence and wealth to total poverty in just 1 or 2 days. And he said, the Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, what a man, eh? What a man, he says, I know what God's like. You see? And then when the devil said, well, it's all right, that is, if you hit his body, that's when you really know. That's the final test of character. Real terrible illness. God said, go on then. And they sat on a pile of ashes to soak up the pus that was running from him. Scraping off the pus off the cancerous sores that were all over his body in absolute agony. And he said, oh, he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, what a man, eh? What a man, isn't he, you know? And he says, I know what God's like. You see, what a wonderful man. How many of us listen to the devil for far less reasons than that? And we say, oh dear me, you've let me down, Lord. And we go into a state of grumpy. We have a, you know, fall out with the Lord and say, well, I'm talking terms with you, Lord. I'm not going to have anything to say to you. You've not really been good to me at all. Bye bye. See you in a week. Well, we're not to be at odds, we are. Still, we get these grumps on us if we're not careful, can't we? Say. But I know one of the grandbrothers, rather funny, he said, just after he got converted, this worldly man who'd been frightened of him to death when he got converted, you see, he wasn't frightened anymore, you see. He thought, well, he's okay. Now, so he really took the mickey out of him. And this Christian fellow's name was Jack, could take it no longer, a real tough guy he was. He says, bye-bye, Jesus, I'll see you in half an hour. And he gave the fellow such a pasting. Well, sometimes we're a bit like that. Bye-bye, Lord, I'll see you in half an hour. But it's really good to know that Job didn't do that. He didn't say, bye-bye, Lord. He grumbled a bit and moaned at everybody but God. It's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, what a man he was. You see, and the same old battles there, where God is proving the divine principle. That's right, Ellen, that's what happens at times. You hit the nail on the head. In our lives, you see, we don't feel so important. But God comes along and proves those principles. He is my servant, you see, one that goes right. And we're allowed to be put into the hand of one of these nasty demons. And they come along and they say, right, here you are. You're under test. As it says in Peter, Satan hath demanded, not just desired. Let me have a go at that there Peter. I'll show you he's not as good as he says. And the Lord says you're nothing. The devil says you're nothing but chaff, Peter. He says, but I know there's a lot of good wheat in there, and I'm going to use the devil to get the chaff out of you. And it's not very nice when God puts us into the hand of the devil to beat the chaff out of us. You know, you've been there a lot, have you, remember? Oh, well, haven't we all had a go, you know? Yes, the awful one, the Satan is God's winnower, isn't it? Whack, 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 whack. Not much fun at all. Satan's name is called Hoponeros, the corrupting one, the wicked one. It's not Hokakos, just the evil one, the bad one. Poneros goes a stage further than that. It means the one who is not content till he's corrupted down to the same level of evil. And it's very, very sad, isn't it, you know, that the devil is like that. He's not content. He knows what we like. Great angelic powers. He comes with his insatiable malice against us, with craft. But there's one thing I find great comfort about this, See, Satan's wisdom and craft, well, cunning is and craft is a corruption of true wisdom. It isn't true wisdom. In fact, really, it's the greatest kind of folly of all. When Satan comes with his craft, the person he is injuring most is primarily himself. The destruction of personality that is taking place when he comes and twists the lie is really the twist he puts in his own personality. And I told you that vision I had, didn't you, of this person that had totally given over to evil and the end of evil. And God let me see a person in hell, just one person, and let me see the total destruction of personality and the twist and the pain. You see, every time he does that craft, it is a twist in his personality that is literally wrecking it and tearing it asunder. And God let me feel the end, the pain that comes in the personality. I hope they're all listening to this. The pain that comes ultimately in the personality through taking this choice to evil is unbelievable. It makes the pressure on a person who is insane, it's worse than that. The breaking up of the mind, the twist and pain of a breakdown. I mean, I've had a breakdown which is as bad as anything, but what I saw was far worse than that, you know, the pain in the mind and personality. And God says he comes to save us from our sins. That's why he comes to save us from our sins, because that's what evil does to the personality in the end. And then God, twice as a kid, he not only showed me that, but he let me feel the ages go by. Endless ages of time. Only God can compress eternity and let you feel eternity. And he says Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. But only God can let you feel eternity in measured time. And twice I had the feeling of eternity. And I saw this person with this horrific twist in the personality. Going on in that state. You don't need any external pain in hell to judge, to torment the wicked. And there isn't any. All the lake of fire does is take the body away, just like that. I tell you what, the pain of their own evil is quite sufficient. You see, and it's wonderful to realize the craft of Satan. Thank God, he can't outthink God. The all-wise God whose wisdom is true and pure and kind and good and loving. We never need fear because the God can make him look like an idiot any day he likes. And he does. Amen. Amen. He must have felt a bit of a nitwit when he went and threw the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. Because the result was a tract right throughout the kingdom. Saying, God, there's no God who can deliver like this. Three Hebrew boys thrown into a fiery furnace, heated seven times hotter. I'm telling every member of my kingdom I saw it. And evangelized every part of the Babylonian kingdom. Satan did. Isn't that great news, eh? And then when Daniel was thrown into the den of lions, he thought he'd get rid of him again. Again the same thing happened. Isn't it wonderful? And it's wonderful how God can so easily turn the tables. And in your life, if you feel you're under pressure from the devil, let me tell you, God can turn the tables. Amen? When he comes against you with this demonic craft and he puts the pressure on you through various things, home, finances, work, whatever it may be, health, you know, attacks in the mind, the personality, it's good to know that all he can do in the end is make you more like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He's called the slanderer, the devil. You know what that means? The one who throws bricks at you. That's what diabolos means. The one who throws stones or throws something at you. Throws lies, throws insults. And I was just saying to some folks, how many of you have had, you're no good. You're a failure. You're hopeless. You'll never... Go on, hands up, let's have a go. Oh, it seems to be busy. I hope you recognise the you. You've got to, the moment you hear a you, you say, I know who's talking to me. As one lady called him, old smutty face, she said. You know, that's what she called him, old Mrs. Sales. She said, old smutty face has been at me, she said. But you've got to realise, when you hear a you or an accusing, God never, ever accuses you. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful? God never accuses you. It says, he chastens every son who is bringing up. Now we think that means beating. It doesn't. The Hebrew word, Greek word means to train up as a child. And scourges, the next bit's the banging, the wooden spoon section. And scourges every son who is receiving. He doesn't, you see, the whole point is, he says God uses the wooden spoon on us, you see, or the whip, the whip there actually means. But he said, there's the time, but it's interesting, God trains as a child. Now, how do you train as a child? You try a lot of kind words, don't you? You say, come on, ducky. You know, have another go, and you train them with patience. It's like, my mum did with me, she was a wonder, you know. Yes, I remember Burnett's Pond, though. I mean, so that did really try your patience. And you know all about Burnett's Pond, do you?
Mm. You ruined your clothes.
That's right, yes, she said. She bought some nice...